You wonder sometimes why. Why different people have to go through different things, but you always know that God's in control. Tonight, if you will turn to Genesis chapter 18, and if you would stand with me tonight, if you're able, Genesis chapter 18. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 8, and if it's not too much, I'm going to take my jacket off, because if I don't take this jacket off, I may melt up here. All right, Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Once you find it, and follow along if you will. And the Lord appeared unto him, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened unto the tent, unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf, which he had dressed, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you again for tonight, the opportunity again to come and to be in your house. Pray now as you work in the hearts of those that are here tonight. Please help me as I speak. Holy Spirit, as always, I beg you. I pray the words that I say tonight would be your words and not mine. Lord, that you'd use this old and unworthy vessel to be a blessing and an encouragement to our people. So many of them are hurting. So many of them are having a hard time right now. Lord, there just seems to be so much heartache. And Lord, I pray that you'd comfort those that are dealing with the things that they're dealing with. We thank you for all the faithfulness of those that are here tonight, Lord. I just appreciate those that come out, and Lord, that are faithful to you, faithful servants. Bless now the sermon, and what's to follow, we ask in Christ's precious name. Amen. All right, thank you. May be seated. All right, Genesis chapter 18, verses 8 through 1, we see the story here of Abraham. And Abraham, of course, is given an opportunity. Three men show up. The Bible talks about how the Lord appeared unto him. And then he saw three men, and he went and he took care of them. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And then look over at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 13. We're going to focus mainly in Genesis, but we're going to look at a couple verses here. Romans chapter 12, verse number 13. Make sure I got the right verse here. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Notice those last three words, given to hospitality. Now look back over in Genesis chapter 18. Tonight I want to talk to you for just a few minutes on the topic, given to hospitality. Hospitality here, this means the act or practice of receiving and entertaining strangers or guests without reward or with kind and generous liberality. Both host and guest come from the same root word that is used for hospitality, hospital, hostel, and hotel. Abraham is given the opportunity here to be hospitable. We talk about being hospitable. You'll notice in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, and it says given to hospitality. It doesn't say ask, it says given. You know, there's a difference between given and ask. Amen? Most people, if you talk to most Christians, they don't mind helping others when you ask them to help others. Now, brother, is there a way I can get a cup of water? My mouth is just dry as can be. Most people don't mind. If you come to them today and say, you know, I need help. Can you go help this brother out? Most people are not going to look at you and say, no, I don't have time for that guy. Get out of my face. Most people are going to do it. And that's great. But to me, when it comes to hospitality, I think the greater blessings and the greater rewards come when you don't have to be asked. Amen? Are you all awake out there? Given, not asked. When I pass away, when it comes to this hospitality, I want to be known as someone who gave, not someone who always had to be asked. I think that's a problem many times in a lot of our churches today. Most people are what I call ask-only Christians. They'll do anything you want if you ask. But they don't do anything unless you ask.
Amen.
Yeah? That's why when we talk about giving to hospitality, God wants us to have that attitude, that spirit, that we're not looking for someone to ask us to doing something for others, but we're looking for opportunities to do something for others.
Yes.
In other words, we're not waiting around for somebody to give us a little nudge. All right, we're looking, we're aware, our eyes are open and aware of what's going on around us and the people that we come in contact with, and we listen. And we take words that are said by other people, and we think about what they're saying, and we think, you know, maybe, you know, there's something. He needs something right now. What can I do to be an encouragement and a help to him?
Yes.
Or to her? I don't want to be known as the guy that only did things when he was asked.
Good.
Doing things only when you're asked, that's just average. You know, I don't want to be an average Christian.
Amen.
That's why I like this story here in Genesis chapter 18. Abraham wasn't an average guy. Abraham did a lot of things. He wasn't pushed. He wasn't encouraged. He wasn't asked to do those things. He just did it.
Yes.
When he saw the need, when he saw something that needed to be done, he took care of it. I mean, there's folks all around us that need help.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of people around. The problem is with most of us, we get so busy, we just don't listen.
Yep.
You know, all you got to do is spend 5 minutes with somebody and listen to their heart.
Yep.
And you can tell if that person is in need or something.
Yep.
I want to be given to hospitality, not asked. But Abraham was given. Now some of, you know, there's a, here in Genesis chapter 18, verse 1, Abraham is given an opportunity. He takes that opportunity. He takes care of these three men. Now, hospitality during those days, and of course, at that time, was practiced especially with strangers, travelers, and those in special need, like the poor. And of course, Jesus specifically tells us to reach out to the needy. But you know, one thing that you'll notice, you look over a couple of verses I want to look at tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 2 real quickly. Now, tonight's message is not going to be bombastic. I'm not going to jump and shout. And I may jump a little bit when I get excited about what God's doing. But, you know, I'm not going to come sit down in your chair, amen? So you're safe tonight. All right? But 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 2. Talking here about a bishop. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 3, verse 2. Then you look at verse 5, chapter 5, verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 10. Well reported of for good works, if she hath brought up children, if she hath lodged strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed after every good work, talking about the older ladies, the widows. These are examples. No, as bishops and pastors, we are to be hospitable. It's part of our job description. But when it comes to a job, a lot of times I don't want to do something just because it's part of my job description.
Yeah.
Amen? We should do things because we want to do things, not because it's part of our job description. Here in 1 Timothy 5:10, it talks about the widows, how are they to do other things for others. But we should also do the same thing. Lodge strangers, wash the feet of saints. Now, I'm not washing your feet, so don't ask me, all right? Now, I'll wash my wife's feet, and I have done so before, and I'll massage them. But if you would come to me and ask me to do it, now, you have to be awful desperate before I would ever do that. Now, ladies, I won't do, okay? Don't, only the men, all right? But, you know, washing feet and relieving the afflicted. There's a lot of people afflicted today, amen?
Yep.
When's the last time you gave relief? That's part of hospitality. Yep. Relief doesn't have to be in the form of finances. Relief comes in the form many times of a kind word. Just a hand on the shoulder. Amen?
Amen.
Just an encouraging smile. You can relieve the afflicted in many ways. And then it goes on, and she hath diligently followed every good work. And then, of course, and then turn over to Titus chapter 1, verse 8 again. We see talking about the bishop. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. Hospitality is an important part of the Christian's life. As Christians, if we want to see the true blessings and rewards of God, we have to learn how to be hospitable. Heritage Baptist Church is not going to grow unless we know how to be hospitable.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
People are not going to come if we're not hospitable.
Right.
People are not going to stay if we're not hospitable.
Right.
You know, we have to learn how to serve others. You notice that it says, practice of receiving or entertaining strangers or guests without reward. It's easy to do things for people that can give you something back in return. But a lot more difficult for many of us to do things for those that we know cannot pay us back. I mean, when I was in Nepal, it was an amazing place. It was one of the hardest things for me to deal with. You know, here in America, we talk about give and take. Okay? Give and take a little. Well, in Nepal, they had a saying, which probably doesn't go along with give and take, but it says, take and give. Literally. That's the saying. Take first and give only if you have to. That's their mentality. That is the culture. That was so difficult for me to deal with. And as a pastor over there, to try to teach people to get out of that mindset was even more difficult. Because all their life growing up as children, they were taught to take, 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 and only give if you're backed into a corner. And I had to teach a group of Christians, you know, that we give regardless of what comes back.
Amen.
We give no matter what we get in return.
Amen.
You know, I'm not... when I give to people, when I help others, I know a lot of times they're very kind and they'll do things for me, but that's not what I'm looking for. Abraham, when he helped these three men, he wasn't looking for anything in return. You don't see anything in there where Abraham was thinking, hey, if I go and help these three men out, you know, I might get something out of this. This could be very profitable for me. And that's a lot of Christians today in our world. A lot of Christians in churches today, they're hospitable as long as it's profitable. Amen?
Amen.
I probably should have picked a different title because I don't know if this word... Being from Texas, this word's going to pose me some problems here. No offense, Billy Connor. Not all Texans are poor of speech. Amen. I am. I know. I'm Brother Connor, he's eloquent. Yeah. But, you know, being hospitable... I get greater rewards and blessings from God when I go into it not expecting anything in return. I mean, look, we've got folks all around us that need help. I mean, just in the last month, I've been called at 11 o'clock at night by Brother Jerry. And Brother Jerry is a dear friend of mine. And I've been called and said, can you take me to the emergency room? Well, I mean, I didn't sit there and think about it and say, okay, well, if I take him to the emergency room, what am I going to get out of this? Well, lack of sleep was one of them. The last time I went to the emergency room with him, I was there till 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning, and then I had to get up and do a paper route at 3. I've joined the ranks with the sellers. I've got 2 paper routes now that I'm doing to make a little extra money to take care of our family. But, hospitality, I don't go in. I try not to go into things looking for anything. And I try to help those mostly that I know, without a doubt, can't help me back. That's the ones I prefer to help. Now, I'm going to help anybody that I can help. No matter who you are or what kind of situation you're in, don't make a difference. If you've got money running out your ear, if you need help, I'm going to be there to help you any way that I can. But I prefer to help those that I know can't do anything for me in return. Because I don't want anybody to ever accuse me of doing things to get something. I hope people don't look at you that way. You know, when you do what you do, I hope your intentions are right. I know Abraham's was. Abraham went into it saying, look, I've got 3 men here I need to take care of. I want to be a blessing to them. I want to be an encouragement to them. I want to do anything and everything that I can do for these men. And he did. Now, the story, of course, here is a wonderful example of hospitality. And there's some things that we can see concerning hospitality that I want to share with you tonight. I've got about 24 minutes, and we're going to talk about those. And if I can keep my mouth from drying out here. Are y'all jealous? They tell you when you're preaching and when you're a pastor, it's usually not a good idea to drink in front of people. You don't want to make them feel bad. So, but I don't mind. All right, let me get another one, just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. Anybody else want to drink? Now, if you do that in the fall, you don't put your lips on it. If you offer somebody a drink, they always drink like this and pour it into their mouth. I remember it was kind of funny when we first got there. We did the Lord's Supper, and you know how here in the States we've got our little individual cups, and they're so cute. Amen. You got that little bitty cup, kind of like I don't know. Maybe I just like grape juice too much. I'm thinking, man, if I'm going to take the Lord's Supper, Lord, I really want to enjoy this. Give me a big one. No. But over there, in the beginning, we were going to Boulder Baptist Church, and when they took the Lord's Supper, they had one cup. One plate for all the, or two plates for the bread, because the ladies were on one side, the men were on the other, and then they had one cup for each side. One for the ladies, one for the men. And so when you've got about 150 people in there taking the Lord's Supper from one cup, you got 2 guys walking down the aisle and they're filling the cup as it empties. And so you're trying. And I remember the first time I took it, I thought, oh, Lord, help me, please. And sure enough, well, I took it and it was like right down the belly. And needless to say, when Pastor Rahm and them got the little cups in, finally got some of those little cups, I said, thank you, Lord. I'll take the little cup. That's just perfect. But hospitality here in Genesis chapter 18 can teach us many things. There's some things about hospitality that are do's and don'ts, I call them. One thing about hospitality, if you look back at Genesis 18, verse number 1, you find out that hospitality doesn't have the thought, how convenient is it? When you're given to hospitality, you're not thinking about convenience. Amen? Because many times the opportunities that God gives you to be hospitable are not always convenient. Like Brother Jerry calling me up at 11 o'clock at night saying, can you take me to the emergency room? It's not convenient. Knowing that I've got to get up in a couple hours and do a paper route, it's not convenient. But the rewards are wonderful. And if you're going to be given to hospitality, you have got to learn that it's not always going to be convenient. You're going to be inconvenienced many times. But trust me, you will not regret doing that for anybody, doing anything for anybody. No matter how inconvenient it is to you. It was not convenient for Abraham. If you look at this, he sat in the tent in the heat of the day. Now, over in that area, it got hot. We don't know what hot is here in Montana. I mean, this is, where everybody's walking around going, oh, Lord, have mercy, how hot is it outside? It's 90 degrees outside and people are walking around going, oh, somebody help me. I mean, look, I spent 13 years in Nepal, and over there in my little three-bedroom apartment, we didn't have any air conditioning. There was no central air or central heat. During the summertime, I mean, it would get about 90 degrees, but when you were inside those houses, it felt like 110. I remember many times I would go and I would sit down in my chair where I would sit and watch TV, and when I got up, there'd be a wet spot there. It was just flat hot. But here where Abraham's at, in the land he was living at the time, it was hotter than that. It says he was in the tent in the heat of the day. This was the hottest part of the day. And so here's Abraham. It's not the most convenient time of the day. Most of us would think, well, if they're going to come, let them come at nighttime when it's nice and cool. Amen? But Abraham's given an opportunity to serve these three men, and it is just flat out hot outside. And it was inconvenient for Abraham to take care of these men. But he did not hesitate. Because as he lifted up his eyes and looked and lo, the three men, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them in the heat of the day. Amen? Yeah, it's hot. He's sweating, and I'm sure he's probably standing there. And every couple seconds, he's wiping his brow. He sees those three men. He doesn't look up and say, Lord, can you turn the air conditioner on for just a couple minutes while I take care of these guys? He takes off and he runs to them. It wasn't convenient, but he took care of them. What a good example. I like that. So here in the Middle East, of course, it was very hot. And of course, during that time, most people, they were looking for shade. Abraham wasn't worried about the shade. He saw a need. He saw an opportunity to be hospitable. And he took it. When you say given to hospitality, you're not supposed to be praying, God, I'll be hospitable as long as it's convenient.
Yep. Amen.
You should be praying, Lord, give me an opportunity to help somebody else today. Give me an opportunity to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody else. I praise God for Brother Roy. Brother Roy, for many years now, has been faithfully mowing the grass of this church. It is not convenient. Trust me. When you set 5 hours on a lawnmower, it is not convenient. That seat had my indention in it. I sweat, and I don't know if you can see it or not, but I can feel it. I've got places where it's a little sensitive right now on my face and arms. It wasn't convenient, but it was a chance for me to serve our church. And he's been doing it all these years by himself, and I'm thinking, brother, you're wonderful. You've been taking care of this all by yourself. Given to hospitality. There's a lot of things that need to be done. And it's not always going to be convenient for us. But the rewards are great. You look past the inconvenience and you see the opportunity. Amen?
Amen.
So number one, hospitality is not always convenient. Alright? But it is rewarding. Number two, hospitality will cause us to rush to serve others. Look at verse number 2. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them. Ran to meet them. Look it down at verse number 6 and verse number 7. And Abraham hastened unto the tent, unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the herd. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto the young man, and he hasted to dress it. Notice those key words. He ran, all right? He hasted, quickly. I mean, look, if you are truly giving to hospitality, you are going to be quick to serve others.
Amen.
You're not going to stand around and think about it. Well, you know, he really needs me to do this for him. But let me see about this. Okay, I guess I can go. True hospitality will cause you to see that need, see that opportunity, and just take off. You see that person who's hurting. You see that person who needs help. And you don't think about it, you just act. You move, and you move quickly. So many times things happen in our church, and there's not a lot of time to think about it. People need something. People need help. The other day, Brother Roy, I'm standing there. I was talking to someone, and Brother Roy says, "Brother, can you come help me get Miss Carol into the house?" Once he said that, it's like I'll be there. I hopped in my car, drove to his house, and took care of him. Look, I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just telling you, when it comes to hospitality, there's no time to think. True hospitality causes us to move quickly because we want to be a blessing so much that we don't want to wait. We're so anxious to be a blessing and an encouragement and a help to somebody else, we just move. We don't stand around and wait, because when we stand around and wait, if you wait too long, somebody slips in there and takes that opportunity away from you. I think Abraham, he moved quickly because he wanted to make sure that nobody else took his blessing away from him. Amen?
Amen.
That's what happens to a lot of us. God speaks to our heart. We see something that needs to be taken care of, or someone that needs to be taken care of. Holy Spirit touches your heart, and you sit there and think about it for a little while, and then next thing you know, here comes another person, jumps right in there in front of you and takes care of it for you. Given to hospitality means as soon as the moment arrives, you move. You don't think. You don't debate with yourself what you should do. You just take action.
Amen.
I mean, look, if you're military, ex-military, when you're in the military, that's mentality, amen? When you're in places, I know Brother Connor, you were in Iraq. I know Brother Jordan was over there. You don't have time to think about it, amen? When something happens, you move.
Amen.
And you move as quickly as you can. It may be your life. Well, hospitality is the same way. If you don't move fast enough, it may be their life. Okay? Hospitality causes us to rush to serve others. Again, you notice that how Abraham ran. He hastened. And Sarah made the cakes quickly. He ran again to the herd, and the young man hasted to dress the calf. So we see, first of all, hospitality causes us not to look at the convenience. It causes us not to ask ourselves how convenient it is. True hospitality causes us to rush to serve others. But not only that, number three, true hospitality causes us to practice humility. Look at verse number 2. And he lifted up his eyes, okay, and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and notice what he says, and bowed himself toward the ground. When you are hospitable, you notice that Abraham bowed himself toward the ground. Abraham was a man of great wealth and influence. Sometimes we let who we are in life determine how we treat others. Hospitality takes who we are and what we are in life and puts it over to one side. True hospitality. We don't think about how this is going to look on us. Amen? How is this going to affect my image? Look, I've done a lot of down and dirty jobs before for other people. It's not always fun. But I'm not looking at them and saying, wait a minute now, I'm a pastor. I'm a pastor of this church. I'm a professor at this Bible college. I don't think I should be doing stuff like that. It's like I went into an interview today at U.S. Bank for one of position there. And now I forgot what I was going to say. I need to get a drink of water. Got to refresh my mind. Oh, that's right. Because she was asking a question. She's like, doing different things in your past jobs. Can you relate a certain time when you where you're in charge and you had people that worked for you and work, something needed to be done, and how did you take care of it? Well, I told her, I made the statement, I will never ask anybody to do anything that I am not willing to do myself. If I ask you to clean the toilet, I will be also in there cleaning the toilets with you. Okay, true hospitality puts your pride over to one side and causes you to be a true servant. Your position means nothing when it comes to hospitality. It doesn't make a difference how important you are. There's a need that needs to be taken care of. Abraham didn't look and say, now wait a minute, now I've got all these tents, I've got all this money, I've got all this cattle, I've got all these sheep, I've got all these servants. Hey, you, go over and take care of those three men. What are you doing standing around? Get over there, get over and take care of those guys. Abraham took his wealth, his position, his influence, and his pride, took it off, set it inside the tent, and took off.
Amen.
And says, it don't make a difference who I am, how important I am, those three men need me. True hospitality will cause you to have humility. Because many times you will be doing things that you probably don't think you ought to do based on who you are. And of course, if you think you're somebody, then you're actually nobody in the eyes of God. Amen?
Amen.
I don't mind doing a lot of things. I mean, I don't know how many times I've cleaned toilets down on my knees, and not the prettiest ones either. I mean, in Nepal, God bless our people over there. They're wonderful people in our church. But, you know, you're talking about a country that is not very hygienic. And they don't think of things the way we think of things. I don't know how many times I had to go into our bathrooms and clean up a puddle sitting in the corner. Because the kids would go in there. I mean, they go on the streets. You know, when it's time to take care of business, you stop there on the streets, you find you a nice place on the wall, and you take care of business. So the problem is when they come inside the church, they think the same thing. They go in the bathroom, that's a nice place on the wall, take care of business. And yet standing or sitting right over here in the corner is this nice little hole in the ground where you stick your feet and take care of business. I mean, in our church, we didn't have sit-down toilets. Our church building, we had two toilets, and both of them were you have the places where your feet go, and then there's a hole. So you pray you don't miss. Amen? Well, people miss quite often. I found out that their accuracy is very bad. And in the beginning, when I was doing this, when I was doing the church, I was the guy taking care of things. My family and I. I'm the pastor of the church. I am the what do you call it, the CEO of our Bible college. But there was nobody there to do it. Somebody had to do it. And many a week, I'd be in there on my hands and knees cleaning pee up off of the floor. It's not fun, but it's great to have an opportunity to do things that show the people that you're just like them. You know what that taught my people? That, yeah, I'm a man of God. I'm the pastor, but I'm just like they are. True humility lets people know that you're equal. Hospitality causes humility, which shows those that you help equality. They know that you don't feel like you're better than they are. If you're willing to do some of the things that they need without question, you know, that makes a big impression on people. Set your position, your pride, and everything else to one side and help others. Learn to be hospitable. Abraham didn't care about who he was. He did care about who they were. Who he was didn't matter. Who they were made all the difference in the world. And true hospitality causes us to think that way. Who I am doesn't matter. Who they are means everything. Right? So one, hospitality is not always convenient. Number two, it causes us to rush to others. Number three, it causes us to practice humility. Number four, it causes us to think of the needs of others over the needs of ourselves. Look at verses 4 and 5. says, let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. So Abraham made sure their feet were washed, their bodies were rested, and their hunger was satisfied. Along with this, he said, comfort ye your hearts. He was caring for not only the outward man, but he was caring for the inward man. He was wanting them to rest. True hospitality is not always having others over for meals. It is caring for the spiritual needs as well as the physical needs. Hospitality causes us to do more than just the physical. It also causes us to take care of the spiritual needs of those around us. Physical needs, you know, you can take care of anybody can take care of physical needs, but sometimes it's difficult to take care of the spiritual needs. People are hurting. And when they're hurting, you know, a pie is nice, but that's not what they need.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes, amen?
They need comfort. They need encouragement. They need someone just to sit and listen to them and not give their opinion.
Yes.
A lot of times people don't want a solution. They want sympathy. As men, we try to fix it all the time. But a lot of times, people don't want you to fix it. They just want you to be there for them. They just want you to listen. Amen?
Amen.
So it causes us to think of the needs of others over the needs of ourselves. And I need to get moving. Got a couple minutes left here. Number 5, it shows our service to God. Verse number 3. And said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Verse 5, and I will fetch again. And he talks about there in verse 5 again, comfort ye your hearts. When we show or given to true hospitality, it shows our service to God. You realize that being hospitable is a way to show God how much you love Him and how much you want to be a servant. Hospitality is a way to serve. Amen? It's an opportunity. You may not be able to do a lot of things in church. Maybe you can't go out and spend 5 hours on a mower taking care of the mowing. Or maybe you can't do a lot of hard labor. But any little thing that you can do to relieve someone else is service to God. Every little thing that you do for someone else, you're not just serving that person. You are serving God Almighty. That person is His child. That's His son. That's His daughter. That's His little one. And so when you serve them, you are serving Him. You're not just saying, brother, I want to help you. You're saying, Lord, I want to help you. Take care of your child. True hospitality will show people how much we serve the Lord. When we are given to hospitality, people will see our service for God. Well, some of you, I know you're thinking, okay, it's almost 8:30. I got one more point. So, it's not always convenient. All right, we'll repeat. Rushes to serve others, practices humility, thinks of the needs of others over ourselves, and it shows our service to God. And lastly, true hospitality does more than what is necessary. Genesis 18, verses 5 through 8. If you look in these verses, you'll notice several things. As we look at these verses, we see Abraham did much more than what was expected. He promised them a morsel of bread in verse number 5, but he gave them cakes, a calf, and butter and milk. You look at that and he says, I will fetch you a morsel of bread. Then he goes on and he prepares them a feast. When we are given to hospitality, we are going to be willing to do more than what is necessary to take care of that need. In other words, true hospitality sometimes will cause sacrifice. It will cause us to sacrifice. It will cause us to have to do without so that someone else can have something. It will cause us to sacrifice our time. I mean, we are all busy people, amen? We all have things to do. We got lives to live. But true hospitality will cause us to overlook those things and give more than what's necessary. to go above and beyond. You know, it's just like, it's no different in the work of God as it is in the world. When you do more than what's required of you, you get promoted. Amen?
Amen.
And the same comes with God's service when it comes to hospitality. When you do more than what's required, greater blessings.
Amen.
You reap what you sow. Amen?
Yes, amen.
If all you want to do is the bare minimum just to get the job done, you're going to get the bare minimum blessings. Abraham didn't want the bare minimum blessings from God. He wanted the max. He knew that God would do great things in his life if he would do great things for God. So hospitality will cause us to go above and beyond. Hospitality will cause us to go the extra mile.
Amen.
To do more than what's required.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So hospitality is a wonderful part of the Christian life and can be a great, great, great valuable thing in your life if you know how to do it. All right? True hospitality will make you a great Christian. But it takes work. It's like I tell my kids, nothing in life worth getting is going to come free. Anything worth getting, you're going to have to work for. And when it talks about giving to hospitality, you want great blessings for God, you want to be truly hospitable, it's going to cause work. It's going to cause you to have to work. It's going to cause you to be inconvenienced. It's going to cause you to be to have to sacrifice many times. It's going to cause you to have to set your pride aside. But trust me, it's worth it in the end. I'll give you a couple examples in closing. We had some families in Nepal. One of them was Prakash and Miss Santi. Prakash was one of the first men saved in our church there at Hope Baptist Church. Great man. His son, Brother Vijay Pradhan, was the one that helped me start the church. And Prakash told his son, I will come to church if that American starts one. And so I started one. He came, and within 2 weeks he got saved. Now, it took a little bit longer for Miss Santi. She was the oldest daughter in her family, and according to Hindu culture, there are certain rites that she had to perform in the death of loved ones. But just to see how God has used them, and they are hospitable. I have never seen one couple quite as hospitable as those two. And we're talking about poor, poor people. We're not talking rich people. Their practice was, every meal, what they would do is they ate rice and dal, rice and it's like the lentil on top. But they would always, before they prepared the meal, they would take a handful of rice and stick it off into a separate bag and then they would make the meal. They do that every meal. Every time they made a meal, they took a handful of rice, put it in a bag, and then ate. And then at the end of the month, they would take the rice in that bag and give it to our college to help the expense of feeding those college kids. Miss Santi, she didn't have a job. And our college needed fans. I mean, those rooms, like I said, they get a little bit warm. She went out and bought two fans for our college. It was 3,000 rupees, which is about only $42. But she didn't have no job. And her husband was doing all that he could to take care of their family. But what her sons, this is a practice I've never seen before. Her sons, every paycheck, they would give a little bit of their paycheck to their mama. She had three boys. And every time they got paid, they'd always give a little bit to their mother. And so she took money, her personal money, and paid for those fans. Then we had another lady, Indira. She, before she got saved, she would do religious services for money. In other words, she would do different rituals for the Hindu religion, and she'd get paid for it. And that's how she supported herself and supported her family. She was a widow woman, just a wonderful lady. For our Bible college graduation this last year, we cater a meal after graduation, or this last May, and she gave, by herself, 10,000 rupees, which is equivalent to about $140. She said, I want to give this to go towards helping for the meal. Hospitality will cause us to do things that we wouldn't normally do on our own. To go above and beyond. to set our pride aside and set the convenience aside to be a help and a blessing to someone else. Practice true hospitality, and I promise you one day there will not be an empty seat in this auditorium. When we as Christians, when we as a church learn to give, be given to hospitality. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for tonight, the opportunity to come. And Lord, again, it is a blessing to be in your house. It's a blessing, Lord, to be a help and a service to those around us. And Lord, I pray that all of us are hospitable. Help us to be given to hospitality, to be able to go and to help others, to help those in need, to be a blessing, to be an encouragement. Lord, it's just there's no greater rewards knowing that you can help other people. Thank you for our people. Be with those that are at camp. And again, be with us this week. Help us to look for opportunities to help others around us. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen.